What do we give to Jesus for Christmas? What does he want? I'll tell you exactly what he wants. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you saved. He wants you and your family safe and sound in his family and in his kingdom, both now and forevermore. That's what he wants for Christmas. That's why Christ Jesus came into the world, to save us. In fact, look what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Notice that real simple phrase, Christ Jesus came into the world. Such a simple phrase. But there's so much meaning and wonder and glory and mystery in that phrase. Christ Jesus came into the world. Of course, that's speaking about why we've all gathered here tonight to celebrate. He came into the world by birth. Christ was born into the world, and every Christmas Eve we remember the circumstances of his birth. Born to Mary and Joseph, a poor couple from Nazareth. They made the trip to Bethlehem to pay taxes. She's late with child. There's no room in the inn. They have to stay the night in a stable. Jesus is born in a stable. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, and his first crib, a manger. For those of you who aren't aware, that's a feeding trough for animals. Now, I know we like to sort of romanticize that in our mind. You know, all the barnyard animals are smiling and singing Christmas carols, and it's all glowy. But it was filthy. It was unsanitary. Mom, Dad, would you have your kid born in a stable? And yet that's how Christ was born. Christ Jesus came into the world. That phrase also speaks of the greatest miracle and mystery of Christmas, the incarnation. That baby born in Bethlehem on the first Christmas Eve so long ago was not an ordinary baby. Oh, he was an actual baby, an actual human baby. He cried like all babies do. He was utterly dependent upon parents, as all babies are. But he was different. He was Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God become man. The Son of God is a baby. John says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Word of God, the Creator of all things, became a baby. Martin Luther said, the mystery of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, well, it's beyond all human understanding. God is a baby, the mystery of the incarnation. And then that simple little phrase, Christ Jesus came into the world, also speaks of his whole life here on planet Earth. You do know that Jesus left the manger, right? He grew up. He was a toddler, an elementary student, a tween, a teenager, an adult man. He walked on planet Earth for 33 and a half years. In the Christian faith, we have a God who knows exactly what we deal with in the human condition because he tasted it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knows what it's like to be weary, to be thirsty, to be hungry. Do you know that for most of his life, he worked as a humble carpenter in Nazareth, feeding the family? Can you imagine? He knows what it feels like to struggle to make ends meet, the daily grind. He knows what disappointment feels like. He knows what it means to be tempted. Do you realize the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was tempted in every way that you and I are? Yet, without sin. 33.5 years, the Son of God walked amongst us and lived a perfect, sinless, holy, righteous life. Oh, Christ Jesus came into the world. Why did Christ Jesus come into the world? Well, it says right there in the scripture. Christ Jesus came into the world to save whom? To save sinners. To save us. That's why he was born. Now, there are a lot of people that get offended when you use the word sinner. I've heard people say, you Bible thumpers, you Christians, always running around calling people sinners. In fact, some of you might think, why are you saying that word sinner tonight? It's Christmas Eve. We're all dressed up. We have our kids with us. I get it. I feel you. Too many Christians use that term in a derogatory, condescending way, looking down their holier-than-thou noses at people, calling people sinners. Understand that the Word of God does not use that word in a derogatory sense. Jesus does not use that word in an insulting, condescending way. The Word of God calls us sinners as a simple, straightforward statement of reality. That is the condition of the human race. We're sinners. A sinner is someone who misses the mark of God's perfection. Someone who misses the righteous standards that he has set forth. We have all broken God's commandments. We have all not kept righteous standards of the Lord. We've all blown it. There isn't a person here this evening that doesn't know intuitively and experientially, I'm not perfect. I've hurt people. I blew it. I've done bad things that I regret. I've thought bad things that I regret. I've said bad things that I regret. All of us have done that, and the Bible says that we're all sinners because of that. And we need to acknowledge that that's who we are before God. Sinners. You know, it's interesting. Paul wrote this verse towards the very end of his life after 30-plus years of serving Christ, planting churches, the greatest missionary ever in church history. And at the end of his life, he writes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Even a man like Paul, the end of his life, knew his sinfulness. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Here's the deal. Our sin puts us at odds with God. Please understand that God is holy and perfect and righteous and just. No sin can be tolerated in the presence of a holy God. And the Bible says that because of his holiness and perfect righteousness, all sin must be judged. All sinners stand guilty and condemned. There's nothing we can do. That's why Christ came, to save sinners. How does Christ save sinners? Real simple. He came to pay the penalty that we all deserve as sinners. He came to take our punishment. The whole point of his birth was to grow up and die. To offer his life on the cross at Calvary. We think about what he endured on the cross, and we think about all of the pain and suffering, but please understand, the worst thing that Jesus suffered on the cross was experiencing your punishment, my punishment. You know, the Bible says that all of the sins of the world were placed on him. All sins. He died in our place. And somehow, some way, Jesus experienced the just, righteous wrath of God in our place. He died on that cross. On the third day, he rose. And you know what Christ has done? He's blasted open the door of salvation. We can be forgiven. We can have our sins forgiven because he's paid the price. And do you know that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, all of your sins are washed away, you're forgiven, you become holy and righteous, you become a child of God, you become a member of his kingdom. Everything changes. All of your sins go away. He will save you from your sins. I've always loved this experience that a Christian author writes about. It's something that he remembered from his childhood on a Christmas Eve long ago. He writes, "One Christmas we had a tree which we trimmed on Christmas Eve, and the whole lighting effect was to be accomplished with red bulbs. And when our work was finally done, we turned out all the other lights in the room so that the bulbs on the tree should give out the only illumination. It says, we saw a startling thing. Near the base of the tree was a poinsettia plant having some red flowers and some white ones. When the other lights were turned out and the red lights turned on, it was absolutely impossible to determine which of the poinsettia flowers had red petals and which had white. They were all white in the red light." What a perfect illustration that was of what happens to our sins when they are washed in the blood of Christ. They may be scarlet, we're all sinners, but when the red of Christ's shed blood is applied, they become as white as snow. Understand, tonight afresh, what Jesus did. He wasn't just born in a stable and laid in a manger. He came to grow up and to die on that cross and make it possible for us to be forgiven. What does Jesus want for Christmas? He wants you. And can I encourage you to give him what he wants for Christmas? Give him you. Let him save you. Open your heart to him. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. He'll change your life now and forever. You say, well, Pastor, I've been so bad. You don't know me, Pastor. You don't know how bad I've been. And maybe you doubt that the blood of Christ can wash away your sin. Listen, again, Paul the Apostle, the guy who wrote this and was one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, before he became a Christian, do you realize he was against Christ? He persecuted the early church. He hunted Christians, put them in prison, had some of them martyred. Paul was going the opposite direction, but Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, revealed himself, and Paul got saved and was used in a mighty way. Listen, if God can save an ex-church persecutor and turn one of the greatest church persecutors into one of the greatest church missionaries, he can certainly save you. I invite you tonight, open your heart wide, humble yourself, receive him. If you have not received Christ, in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to lead you in our prayer. I'm going to ask you to receive him right now, this night on a Christmas Eve. It'll be your best Christmas Eve ever. To my brothers and sisters in Christ here, no matter how long you've been walking with Christ, what can you give to Jesus tonight for Christmas? Give him yourself again. And just keep on giving him yourself. Paul writes in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Give him your heart. Give him your commitment. Give him your life afresh. Say, Lord Jesus, use my life. Give him your commitment to share the gospel with others. Give him your thanksgiving. Join with the angels of heaven and give him your worship and praise. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And can we have the lights go down? And can I have our worship team come up? What a holy moment this is on Christmas Eve. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Has he saved you? He's paid the price. He's done all the work. Have you received him? Have you asked him to be your Lord and Savior? Right now, I want you to have that opportunity. From the youngest to the oldest, salvation is available right now. With your head and your heart bowed, invite the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. That's why he came. Just in the quietness of your heart, you cry out to the Lord. Lord Jesus, save me. Thank you for paying my penalty. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Wash away all my sins. Give me a brand new start on life. Make me your child, a citizen in your kingdom. Lord Jesus, you gave everything for me. Now I give you my heart. Take my heart. Take my life. Save me. And Father, on this beautiful Christmas Eve, I pray that we would all be renewed in our faith. We would rededicate our lives to you. We would live for you. We'd give you our lives afresh every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.